Very good morning to one and all. There's this BBC news about a woman in the year 1987. She bought a giant ring at a junk sale and thinking that it was a costume jewelry. So she bought it for only 10 British pounds. So she wore this big stone on her finger for 30 years, happily thinking that it was just a costume jewelry, a fake gem. But it turned out to be a 26-carat cushion-shaped white diamond from the 19th century. And the antique shape of the diamond and the older style of cutting of it had disguised its true brilliance for all these years. So she decided to bring it to the Sotheby's auction house after a jeweler told her that it may be valuable and may fetch around £350,000. And when the auction sale was on, it fetched for £650,000. So it was certainly a windfall for this lady. Now, as we have listened to this story, we may wish that how nice if this happens to me. So please don't start rummaging through your drawers and try to find your costume jewelry and examining it to see whether it's really a real gem. But having said, do you realize that we have a great treasure in our hands, and this treasure is none other than this Word of God, and it is a priceless gem that surpasses all the rarest minerals or precious stones on earth. And that's what the Psalmist, Psalm 119, verse 72 said, "The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver." And in Psalm 19, verse 10, this verse is familiar to all of us, "More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and a honeycomb." So do we really resonate with these psalmists as they pen these psalms? Do we regard God's word as a precious gem, as a precious treasure that you would not let go and you would examine it daily? So as we had our responsive, or we read together Psalm 119, verse 97, do you also echo the hearts of these psalmists that we have read? Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. So I would like to impress upon you that what you have today is God's word. The God of this word is speaking through us through his word. But sad to say, we don't read it. We don't treasure it. So in 2019, there's this LifeWay research, American study, and they research survey about the Bible reading habits among church attendees in America. So here the slide tells us that 32% of these people surveyed read every day. 27% read the Bible a few times a week. 12% read it once a week, and 11% a few times a month, and 5% read it at least once a month, and 12% read rarely or never. So you can see that not 100% of the Christian church attendees read the Bible every day, but just 32%. And there are 12% who rarely read the Bible or never read the Bible, and they are church goers. Is this survey's result representative of Life BP Church? So as we are aware, our church theme is building up the Church of Christ. And building up the Church of Christ is not the pastors, elders, deacons, and ministry leaders' business. And for me, as an ordinary lay member, I would do nothing. I just come and I'll just go from church. But every one of us is involved in this building up this church. And our own individual life, we have to be accountable to God, accountable to Him that He sees us and He desires us to live like Christ and to live for Him. Because He called us, even before the foundation of this world, to be His daughter, to be His son. And how do we reciprocate His great love, His everlasting love for us, to call us from condemnation, from hell, and from the bondage of Satan, and to deliver us into, and to help us to know this God and to reconcile with this God the Father and to have a place in heaven. So what do we do with this life? Do we just lead a life that is wasteful? A life that in the end, as we look back, we feel with regrets? So it starts now for every one of us be responsible for our own spiritual walk with God. And the Holy Spirit that lives in us can help us. So it starts with going back to the basics. Love God, love His Word. So we thank God for this passage of Scripture on the Bereans. Though it's just a verse, that is Acts 17 verse 11, just describing who the Bereans were, their attitude towards God, is not to be ignored and never to be regarded as just a footnote of our lives that we gloss over and we forgot what these Bereans do or did. So the Bereans, in fact, left a very rich legacy for us as readers of God's Word, how they regard the Word of God. They have such a high view of the Word of God, and the Word of God at that time wasn't completed. It was just the OT or Old Testament Scriptures, and how they regarded the gospel that was preached from the lips of the Apostle Paul. So how did Paul ended up in Berea? Wasn't he in Philippi at that time? We have listened to the sermons for the past two Sundays, and we talked about him being in Philippi. How did he end up in Berea? Was Paul having a free and easy itinerary that he traveled? He planned to travel here and there in Macedonia, in Achaia, in this Greece. But we know that no, his second missionary journey was moved by the Holy Spirit, and we know his Macedonian call was to Greece, to Macedonia, and he landed in Neapolis and then in Philippi, and where we know that he met a lot of opposition and he departed, and God, the Holy Spirit, moved him or caused him to go to Thessalonica and another major city where it's well connected with good road infrastructure for the gospel to reach out. And again, we see that Paul preached the gospel, took the window of opportunity to preach the gospel, and in verse 4 of Acts 17, it says that many believed, but not surprisingly, Satan, the accuser of brethren, one who opposed the gospel work, stir up people, and Jews who don't believe in the gospel, don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah, caused much opposition to this Paul and Silas and their work. So because of that, they were forced now to go to Berea. So at Thessalonica, I just want to highlight that Paul was falsely charged with being a troublemaker and for being uh, for causing or committing treason, for saying that there's another king, Jesus, and that violates the decree of Caesar, the emperor of Rome, who it was considered the king and God. So through God's providence, Paul and Silas' lives were still preserved amidst the opposition, and they were quickly sent away under the cover of darkness in the night to Berea, which is about 80 kilometers away. And that's quite a long distance, concerning that they have to walk through all those undulating terrain. So, but yet, you can see how the Lord preserved his servants, and the Lord great commission, remember, he says, I will be with you always. And that's what God is telling us, that when we do his work, he will be with us always. So this strategic withdrawal into another city, that is Berea of Macedonia, is actually off the beaten track. It is a very, it's a city, but it's less populated than in Thessalonica. But it wasn't a retreat for Paul and Silas. They did not feel disappointed that they were not able to focus on Thessalonica and spend more time there, but they just continue to advance the gospel in Berea. So the next thing we read in verse 10, Paul and Silas, after arriving in Berea, they entered the synagogue, and what do? Not to have a chit-chat session, but they preach the gospel, as what they did every time they enter into a city. When they found a synagogue, they would go there and preach the gospel. And that was Paul's custom. So here we can see that that's how he ended up in Berea. So what are the three things that we can learn from this episode whereby he was in Berea? Firstly, the Bereans have a receptive heart. And that's our lesson, first lesson today. Whenever we approach the Word of God, whenever we listen to the Word of God preached, we must have a receptive heart. And the Bereans were described as more noble than those in Thessalonica. To read verse 11, and these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. So the word noble, it doesn't really talk about or refer to their social mobility or nobility, but it is a metaphorical statement that they were more noble in quality of mind and their heart. And those who attended the synagogue in Thessalonica, they were, of course, in comparison to the Bereans, they were prejudiced to the truth. They were more emotional and impulsive towards the gospel. But the Bereans, they were more open. They took it upon themselves to see if what Paul was saying was true. And so they were generous, they were gracious in their feelings, and were much more willing to deal objectively with the facts of the gospel that were proclaimed by Paul. And so what the Bereans possessed was an open heart and humility and an open mind also. So we thank God for Paul. He would never dilute the word of God, the gospel. And you can see in verse 11, they received the word. So here we can see he preached the word. And so the word is, of course, the word of God, the contents of the gospel, the rich content of the gospel. And indeed, Paul did mention in his letters, especially in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 9:16 says, "Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." So this Paul preach the gospel and how important it is for us who are Bible study leaders, preachers, and who teach the word. We must always teach the full counsel of God, the word of God, and not our own wisdom, our own human teachings, but all must be drawn from God and from His word. So the word here, whereby the Berean says they received, the word received speaks of welcoming with open hearts and mind. So the Bereans took these precious words of Paul to themselves, and knowing that it could be the word of life for them. So they took it with all readiness of mind. So the readiness speaks of eagerness. They were eager, they were hungry for the word, and they took it with passion. The readiness also talks about passion and the promptness without delay. They didn't just say, tomorrow then I go and think about it. Later then I go and think about it. But with eagerness, they received God's word and they would search the scriptures, as we will be talking about this later. So the Bereans were not gushing over the messenger and say, wow, this is Apostle Paul, one who preached the gospel. They were not enamored with the messenger. They did not create a fan club for him. Instead, they were more interested in the message than the messenger. And that's our goal as preachers, that we must point others to Christ, not to ourselves. And to build a cult personality is never to be in our agenda, and God forbid. So what is our attitude when we worship God as we sit, as we are seated down, listening to His word preached? Are we pure critics? And do we chew on God's word? Or do we criticize the preacher in our hearts and say that, wow, he's so boring, never hear such a boring preacher? Or do we listen expositionally to what this preacher is talking about? What is he telling us? What is the lesson that I can bring home to go through the week ahead of me? Do we take time to go through the verses? And as we are aware, the weekly is given to us. We have the website, Life BB Church website, whereby the topic and the text are all printed on the website. Do we, like the Bereans, go and read through the verses before we come this Sunday on Sundays to listen to the Word of God? Do we go through the Bible verses before we attend this worship? It will greatly help you if you were to attempt to do that, because you will be hungering, what would the preacher be telling us? What are the lessons that I have not thought about? And then you can build up your spiritual life. So don't come here wanting to have your ears tickled. And that's what Paul warned Timothy. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. So Paul is warning Timothy, as a pastor, be careful. Don't let your church to become people who only hear what they want to hear, and they want their ears just to be tickled. And I pray that the word of God will always be preached from this pulpit, and that we do not come with itching ears. So may the Lord help us, that we ask ourselves, have we a receptive heart? Wherever we listen to a sermon, wherever we open the sacred pages of the Bible. And so here the Bereans, continuing the verse, and they search the scriptures daily whether those things were so. So that's the second point which I mentioned earlier. They search the scriptures. So not only did the Bereans welcome the word with all readiness of mind, they searched the scriptures daily. And so this is very commendable of them. And as we know, the Bereans are unlike us, having a Bible in their shelves or many Bibles in their shelves, or having a handphone with the Bible inside or a Bible app. But the Bereans have to go to the synagogue, ask for permission from the Jewish leaders to open the scrolls to read. And the scrolls are thick, and there are many of them, and they have to go through one by one the scrolls, unlike us that we can flip the pages so easily. But they will check out what they will go through all this trouble to verify what Paul said is true. And they would look through the Old Testament writings, and that's what it meant when it says they search the scriptures daily. So searching is not finding, but examining, evaluating, and studying carefully and sifting through. So this is how they dug deep into the sacred mind of the scripture, and they did not do so critically in order to refute Paul, but they do it sincerely, wanting to find out whether he said is aligned with the Old Testament scriptures. And Paul was talking about Jesus, the Messiah, and truly the Old Testament is all about Jesus, as much as the New Testament is about Jesus. So don't have the notion that I only read the New Testament because it only has Jesus, and the Old Testament, it has nothing to do with Jesus. The Bible is unique from Genesis to Revelation. A scarlet thread is threading through from the Genesis to Revelation to tell us the Messiah, that Jesus is indeed Lord God Almighty. So here we can see how the Bereans were noble in that they received with readiness of mind, with a receptive heart, and they searched the scriptures. And that's what Jesus admonished the Jews when they were trying to trap him. He told them, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." So here he says, "And ye will not come to me that ye might have life." So the Jews were challenged by Jesus, admonished to search the scriptures. Don't have the hazy idea about Jesus and to come up with your own prejudices against the Bible when you have not read the Bible, and you attack Christianity, attack Christ. Give yourself an opportunity to search the scriptures and verify what the preacher says or what you have heard from people about who Christ is. And so then you can formulate or come to a conclusion who this Jesus is. So we thank God for the Exploring Christianity, how we have this course whereby people who are seeking to find the meaning of life, finding who Christ is, they come for this course. And we thank God we have about 60 who attended this course. So we have to be like this, attendees of this Exploring Christianity. In our own home, we need to search the scripture. We ought therefore to know what God wants us to know about Him. So as we listen to a sermon or reading a Christian book, we ought also to search the scriptures. We ought to be discerning. And so look at these words of a church preacher, of a mega church, I ask you, what do you think of all these words? It says, whatever Jesus taught in the Gospels, all right, it is not the, shall we say, the meat. They were drinking milk. That's how you need to see the words of Jesus in the Gospels. So what do you think of these words of this preacher? I'd like to have the slide on, please. So it may seem harmless, but he is, this person is none other than Joseph Prince, and he say that don't regard Jesus' words seriously. They are just milk. So when he says, I'm the resurrection and the life, just take it as not important. And when it's just milk and not meat, when he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh unto the Father but by me, it's just milk, it's not meat. So be careful, be discerning. And then he also in another sermon says, repentance and confession of sin are never necessary. Is it really true? Repentance and confession of sin are never necessary, because he preaches hyper-grace, that grace covers everything. Once we have grace, we can continue in our sin, we continue in whatever we do, because we are forgiven past, present, and future. That's hyper-grace. But remember what Jesus says, repent and believe. What John the Baptist says, repent and believe. And even in the book of Revelation, it continues to say, repent and believe. So another message he gave is, the bottom line is that the Holy Spirit never convicts you of your sins. He never comes to point out your faults. Is that really true? That the Holy Spirit never convicts you of your sin? He's attacking the Holy Spirit. He's attacking God. The Holy Spirit is here to convict us of our sins. John 16:8 says, he convicts the sins of the world. So if we do not know the Bible well, we will take in by his eloquence, hook, line, and sinker of all that he teaches. And therefore we need to know the Bible well. We need to search the scriptures to sniff out all the false teachings. And Charles Spurgeon says, be assured, there's nothing new in theology except that which is false. So don't ever tell others that, oh, this teaching of the pastor, I believe because he's my pastor. I will only believe my pastor. No, your pastor is just a man. He is fallible. He is not infallible. So you got to go to the Bible and to search whether what he says is true. Don't go to ChatGPT, don't go to Bard. Go to this Bible and search the scriptures and examine, verify what the preacher teaches is true. Sniff out any false teachings. The Bible is the final authority for all matters of faith, practice, and morality. To dismiss the Bible and to be lazy and not to search the scripture is to dismiss God. So remember, they search diligently daily and not weekly, monthly, or yearly. They were hungering, they were eager to know what God says. So do you hunger for the Word of God? Are you building up yourself spiritually with the Word of God? This Job 23 verse 12, even though he didn't have the scriptures with him, yet God spoke to him. And what did he say? Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. So this is the patriarch who do not have the privilege to even have the Torah, the laws of God with him, but yet he says he esteemed God's word more than his necessary food. And that's how he had such a high view of God's word. And Martin Luther did say this, I like all my books to be destroyed so that the only sacred writings in the Bible would be diligently read. So that's what Martin Luther's desire, that he would prefer all of us to read God's word rather than all his writings, because God's word is so important in our spiritual growth, our sanctification in our lives. So now we have this Bible with us. What do we do? We have to read it. There's no alternative to grow in Christ but to read it, to love God, to read his commandments, and to obey it. So whatever priorities that we have, God must come first, and we must not have the pretext of being too busy and not to read. So let us discipline ourselves, spend time with God, and choose the best time to be with God, and don't let our rationale think that this Bible doesn't help me to bring home the bacon, so to speak, doesn't support me in my daily provision for my family. Why should I read the Bible? The source of our blessings, the source of what we have, our power to earn a living, is from God, and we must know this God of the Word to live a life that is pleasing to him. And in the end, all the things that we gather will be taken away. We will never go to God with all the things of this world. We will come to him as we are, and we are going to be accountable to him. So what are we going to do? We must go back now to the basics. You must read the Bible. Challenge yourself that this Sunday, as I return home, after I do what I need to do, I must spend some time to read the Bible. And if you make this a habit, the Lord will surely reveal himself to you, who he is to you, and you will grow in grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So, by searching the scriptures, having a receptive heart, what did the Bereans do? They respond in faith. We thank God that they respond in faith, not in unbelief, but in faith. And that is the Holy Spirit working in them. And verse 12 says, therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. So they concluded in their research, in their verification daily, and they believed that what Paul says about Jesus, the Son of God, who came to live as a man, and we are justified by his righteousness, and he is risen from the dead. They concluded that what Paul proclaimed was true, and they believed, therefore. So many of them believed, and one of the men who was converted was Sopater. And this church that was formed in Berea, they even have a missionary to go with Paul, and that's the fruit of their belief. So Sopater, you can see in Acts 20 verse 4, he was the one who assisted Paul in his third missionary journey. And so Sopater was also the same man, as many Bible scholars say, same man as Sosipater, who later sent greetings to the Christians in Rome. So you can see how through this searching of the word, there's this fruit from this church. So many, not just the Jews who believe, but a number of prominent Greek women and men. So here we could see how the Holy Spirit truly convicted the sins of these people, and they graciously receive Christ as their Savior and Lord. And that's not easy in their context, because the Greeks were very steeped in mythology and in the worship of their goddesses and gods. And it is truly the power of the Holy Spirit and the gospel that they were turned away from their gods, from their mythologies, their beliefs, paganistic beliefs, to know who this God is. And they were prepared to suffer persecution under the Roman rule. So here we could see that indeed The gospel is true. So when we read the word of God, it has that power to transform lives. You must read it and to know that it can transform your life also. And so Jesus also did say in John 5:46, "For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me." So I want to speak to the friends here who have not come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Always remember, there is no salvation if you reject the gospel. There's no salvation in what you believe, maybe in science, in philosophy, on your psychology. There's no salvation in your self indulgences, no salvation in whatever human inventions that is in this world. But salvation is only in the Lord Jesus Christ, and only Christ can fill the vacuum in your soul. And so that's what Paul says, or what Acts 4:12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." So the gospel is indeed a gospel that transforms life. I pray that those of you who have not believed, come to believe in Jesus Christ. Don't wait, because we do not know what is the next minute of our lives, the next hour of our lives. So the good news traveled fast even to Thessalonica, 80 kilometers away. And because of the impact, knowing the impact of the gospel on the Bereans, the unbelieving Jews of the Thessalonica, they went all the way to Berea, the off-beaten track, to pursue Paul, to oppose them again and stir up the riot against him. And so here we can see the contrast, unbelief versus belief. There's no sitting on the middle fence. Sitting in the middle is whether you believe or you don't believe. And so here we can see how the heart can be hardened, and so it's your choice. Do you believe? If you believe, you will have eternal life. If you don't believe, you are already condemned. That's what John 3:17-18 tells us. He that believeth not is condemned already. So Paul managed to seize the opportunity before this opposition comes to bring the gospel. And so this gospel is for you and for me today. And may you take this window of opportunity to receive the gospel before opposition comes and cause you not to believe. So may the Lord help us to be like the noble Bereans. And firstly, we should receive the word with all readiness, be receptive with open hearts. And secondly, go and search the scriptures daily to find out whether these things are. And if the great apostle Paul was worthy of this kind of close examination, how much more should teachers and preachers today be carefully compared with the scriptures, especially their teachings? So go back to the scriptures and believe what God says and not what man says. So God's word, as this song says, God's word is like a deep, deep mine, and jewels rich and rare are hidden in its mighty depths for every searcher there. May the Lord help us. Let's pray. Our Lord, our God, we give you thanks for your word that is true and real, and this is your word that you have written to us, for us, and it is how you communicate with us. And so help us, Lord, to desire to read your word, to listen to your word, and to obey your word, and to please you in all ways, because you are our God, worthy of our following, worthy of our praise. So help us to be like the Berean Christians, that we may do what they do or what they did, and that it may be a godly habit of our lives to really read your word, to search the scriptures daily. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.